A reading from Luke. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This morning, the sermon title is A Christmas Carol, a choice admittedly meant to carry on my yearly tradition of preaching from both the Gospel of Jesus Christ and also the Gospel of Charles Dickens sometimes during the Advent. They really are the same thing. And if you pause to think about it, what happens at the end of Dickens' A Christmas Carol is the fulfillment of the prophecy set out at the beginning of the gospel. The hungry are filled with good things, and the rich are sent away empty-handed. And both Tiny Tim and Ebenezer Scrooge are given the gift of Christmas present and future. It is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. And this song sung by Mary, well, it was a prophecy and a protest song. And above all, it was the first Christmas carol. And carols mean so much. Over the years, more and more. When I think of carols, the first one that comes to mind, of course, is Silent Night. And the beauty of singing that simple song while passing the light of Christ in this sacred sanctuary on Christmas Eve. I think of that and the story from the front lines of the Great War when German and British troops could hear each other singing Silent Night across the trench lines, and so declared a truce that they might be able to celebrate Christmas together. Or when I think of that song, my mind goes back to my senior year of high school, standing and singing outside the dimly lighted door of the house of a friend who had just been killed in a car wreck a few weeks before. I will never forget the look of love and sorrow in her mother's eyes as she saw us there with candles lighted in our hands and silent night sung from our lips. Round young virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. It still gets me. What also gets me is when I think of my boyhood church, Second B in Lubbock, where every year our beloved pastor, Hardy Clemens, would sing Sweet Little Jesus Boy at the candlelight service on Christmas Eve. Hardy died this year. COVID-19 took him. But I can still hear his voice, and I always will. Last year, someone told me their favorite carol is Good King Wenceslas. Thinking I might suggest it this Christmas season, I asked Irie if she knows King Wenceslas. Does anybody know King Wenceslas? She asked. So much for singing it on Sunday morning. But it's one you ought to listen to sometimes because it tells the story of the good Christian King Wenceslas, who was assassinated by his pagan twin brother Boleslas on the second day of Christmas, also known as St. Stephen's Day. And just like St. Stephen the martyr, King Wenceslas forgave his murderers as his life slipped from him. And so overcome by this act of grace and forgiveness, the evil Boleslas's heart was melted and his brother's name exalted. And the crown of Wenceslas became the symbol of the Czech nation. Not a bad Christmas story, and not a bad Christmas carol. And one you can listen to, not here, but at home, if you ask for an Alexa for Christmas. My favorite carol of all time, I would have to say, is O Little Town of Bethlehem. Written by the great Episcopal priest Phillips Brooks after his trip from Philadelphia to the Holy Land at the end of the year in 1865. 1865 was a fateful year for Brooks and also for America. The war ended. Lincoln was also assassinated. And Brooks preached for the president what I think is one of the most tender and insightful eulogies I have ever read. So much so, I keep a copy in my own Bible. And from time to time, I pull it out and read where Brooks spoke of America being torn by two natures. One ready to state broad principles of the brotherhood of man and the universal fatherhood and justice of God. And another full of the false pride of blood and conquest, symbolized in what Brooks called the horrible sacrament of slavery an outward and visible sign of the inner and cruel hatred of those who are strong towards those who are weak. Brooks said in the sermon that the spirit of that latter nature had not died with the end of the war, but was still alive in both the South and also the North. And it was that still rebellious spirit which had taken Mr. Lincoln's life. So I think of that. And I think of all that Brooks must have been sensing as he looked upon the darkened streets of Bethlehem at night, and no doubt thought of the slaughter of the innocents past and present. All that it would cost to keep the light of liberty alive and set the sons and daughters of bondage free. I think of that, and then I think of the lyrics Brooks later wrote in all of their power and poignancy. In the dark street shineth an everlasting light, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. All of these carols are poignant and powerful, and none more so than this first and greatest carol of all, Mary's Magnificat. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for He, the Mighty One, has done great things for me, and holy is the name. If you ask me what this song is about, I would say it is about the Lord's mercy for the humble of heart, the chastising of the proud, the filling of the hungry, the emptying of the rich, and ultimately the fulfillment of all of God's goodness. And the song must have made a mark in the soul of Mary's son too, because it sounds a lot like what he said in his sermons some 30 years later. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. And woe unto you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given unto you. And the measure that you give will be the measure which you receive. Mary's baby was listening. Even in the womb, like all babies do. And all of those many years later, that baby boy became a man and put Mary's Christmas carol into prose. Which brings me back to Dickens. Dickens described Scrooge as a squeezing, wrenching, grasping, clutching, covetous old sinner. Hard and sharp as flint, from which no steel had ever struck out generous fire, secret and self-contained as an oyster. When I was a boy, this hard and sharp character was played brilliantly on television by George C. Scott, who around the same time won an Oscar for his portrayal of Patton. They were basically the same character. Though Scrooge had a cane and Patton had a Colt 45, Patton believed in reincarnation, and as Scott played him, he was, well, another Scrooge. But the gospel has this way. It has this way of taking even the most hard and sharp and well-armed of men and women and softening them so that they too can be redeemed. For no one is beyond redemption. No one. That is the meaning of Dickens' tale, and it is the gospel truth. And that is why Dickens called it A Christmas Carol, because it is a story about redemption that is meant to be told over and over again, like the songs we sing at Christmas. And it is the Christmas spirit. The spirit of Christ comes and humbles the proud and exalts the lowly. And at the end of the story, Tiny Tim is hoisted up upon the shoulders of Ebenezer Scrooge, and the proclamation of grace is given to all. God bless us. God bless us, everyone. The psalm today says, I will sing of your love, O Lord, forever. And I will sing, though not loudly. I sort of sing like Bob Dylan, whose Christmas album, somebody said, makes I'll be home for Christmas sound more like a threat than a promise. So I won't sing too loudly, but I will come with the carolers, and I will sing softly, and I will tell the story, and I want you to know the story and the song. I want you to know the gospel truth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. It's the fourth Sunday of the Advent. The love candle has been lit, and Mary is heavy with child. And soon the little Jesus boy will be born. And out in the barn, well, out there, heaven and nature will sing. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God and Mother of us all, and all of God's people then said, Amen.